Hi everyone, it's Leslyn Keith here again with another research update flash briefing. I'm the Director of Research and President of the Board for the Lipedema Project. I like to keep you abreast of the latest research or relevance to lipedema with these flash briefings. Today I have a really interesting paper for you. It's called Serum Metabolomic Profiling of Patients with Lipedema. And it's done by a group of researchers from Germany. It was published in the peer-reviewed journal International Journal of Molecular Sciences in December 2023. So what was the aim of this study? It investigated the use of metabolomics in lipedema research and had the objective of identifying potential metabolic disturbances and biomarkers that would indicate a diagnosis of lipedema. So currently, lipedema diagnosis is arrived at through medical history and a clinical examination. There is no technique or biomarker in the blood or tissue that can conclusively identify the presence of lipedema. If this objective information can be found, we might be able to diagnose and treat lipedema much earlier and develop better intervention strategies. Finding objective markers in lipedema has been an ongoing focus of lipedema research. You may remember a study conducted by doctors Stanley Roxon and Guillermo Oliver. They were looking at a platelet factor 4, which has been shown to be a marker of lymphatic dysfunction. This blood chemical was found to be present in patients with lipedema, but not in those with obesity alone. Additionally, Ishak and colleagues found three differences in the fat tissue of patients with lipedema. So we're starting to identify potential markers. And so this study wanted to look at some other potential markers that can be used to identify or better identify lipedema, more than just clinical examination and medical history. So first, a little bit of a definition. You might have been able to figure this out already, but metabolomics is the study of small molecule metabolites in biospecimens, such as urine or blood. That's another way that we hope to discover some type of specimen that will be a biomarker for lipedema. The methods they used in the study, well, they compared the metabolic profiles from blood samples of female patients with lipedema with those in lean as well as obese comparison groups. They used non-fasting blood samples, and they were collected, and then they looked at 39 metabolites and 112 lipoprotein parameters, including very low density lipoprotein. Sometimes you will see that labeled as VLDL. They also looked at intermediate density lipoprotein or IDL, low density lipoprotein LDL, and high density lipoprotein HDL. In addition, several subfractions of triglycerides, sometimes noted as TG, cholesterol, free cholesterol, phospholipids, and apolipoproteins were calculated. So those were, and it's quite often you'll see in your own blood tests that some things are calculated. They're not actually seeing what levels you have in your blood. So the participants that they used in this group, they had 75 females, and they were split equally between three groups. So we had the one group of participants that were diagnosed with lipedema, a second group that were diagnosed with obesity, but no lipedema. And the third group was lean participants. So they had no obesity and no lipedema. So 25 people in each of those groups. And the participants in the lipedema and obesity groups were similar for age and BMI. Now, just looking at the lipedema group itself, those 25 women, most participants were actually in stage 2 lipedema, and the onset of the symptoms of lipedema were most often around puberty. And then other conditions that the participants with lipedema had were also hypertension, type 2 diabetes, and hypothyroidism. In order to be included in this study, the lipedema participants were included based on the German guidelines of characterizing lipedema. They had to be female. They had to have both legs, symmetrical enlargement of their legs. They had to have minimal pitting edema, and they had to have pain or tenderness on palpation, mild bruising. And then also, even after elevating their legs, they would have that persistent enlargement of a lower body, and the feet and hands were unaffected. So that is all the things that were required in order to be part of the study. Now, they could not be part of this study if they had other fat disorders such as Durkheim's. They had other conditions that would give them swelling or edema, and that would be something like lymphedema, phleboedema, or myxedema. And they also did not allow any women that were pregnant or lactating. So what were the results? Well, the main finding is that the metabolic and lipidomic profile of patients with lipedema differs significantly from those with obesity. That was a very interesting finding. And of the 39 metabolites tested, 9 were significantly altered in lipedema. So we're going to look at 3 specifically, because several were significantly different between lipedema and obese groups, which the authors believe suggests that this was a result of a pathology associated with lipedema rather than to their weight or their BMI. And the 3 that they found most significant and most interesting to look further at was pyruvic acid, phenylalanine, and histidine. So histidine and phenylalanine are amino acids that are crucial in various metabolic pathways. Lower levels may indicate alterations in protein metabolism, amino acid utilization, and related pathways to those functions. Decreased levels can alter protein synthesis, energy production, and neurotransmitter regulation. And so I'm just wondering, could this be related to the fatigue and weakness that is sometimes observed in patients with lipedema? Very interesting. So that was the first 2, histidine and phenylalanine, but what about the pyruvate, which was also significant? Pyruvate is important for fat metabolism and thus to energy production, other important functions of fat tissue. Its metabolism is tightly regulated and to meet the energy and storage demands of fat cells in response to nutritional and physiological cues. For instance, if pyruvate metabolism is disrupted, this can cause increased fat accumulation. So some other further results, there was decreased levels of acetic acid, glycine, glutamine, and lactic acid in the lipedema group. And so to the researchers, this suggested that there was a disruption in multiple metabolic pathways. Regarding the lipid profiles, they did not see differences in LDL or total cholesterol levels between the 3 groups, but an in-depth analysis showed actually some significant differences in particle size of lipid molecules. So compared to both lean and obese groups, the lipedema group showed elevated LDL-6 triglyceride. And these are the small, dense particles thought to be more difficulties if you have elevated levels of these smaller, dense particles. And they had significant reductions in LDL-2, which is the larger buoyant particles. And so in lipedema, we really had the opposite profile that we would like, because you would like to have fewer of the smaller, denser, and more of the larger buoyant. But there was opposite in this group of lipedema patients. So a couple of limitations that the study had. It was limited by the variations of metabolic health in the lipedema group. For instance, obesity is a common comorbidity of lipedema. So if subjects had obesity as well as lipedema, this could make the results less clear, meaning that, you know, maybe that there was an increase in hypertension and type 2 diabetes and things like that because they also had obesity in addition to lipedema. And so the authors recommend getting a much larger sample size with more uniformity in the metabolic health of each participant for future research. And the authors suggest that their study quote, highlights the significant roles of metabolomics and lipidomics in advancing our understanding of lipedema, end quote. Although it will need to be studied further with larger sample size and less variations in the participants, it may be that levels of histidine, phenylalanine, and pyruvic acid may help differentiate between lipedema and simple obesity. Something to look into further. And really, this research is important because there is no specific test or biomarker for lipedema. And for this reason, years often pass before someone can get a diagnosis of lipedema and then treatment. And this can lead to other comorbidities such as depression, eating disorders, social isolation, as well as the unnecessary progression of the disease due to lack of treatment. So I just want to direct you to, because this will also appear in our blog at lipedema-simplified.org/blog. All of my research updates will also appear in writing and for you to be able to link on the paper and other papers that I might give as a citation. So check out our blog. Not only do we have the research update, but a lot of great posts by Gail Stryker, our community manager. So a lot of helpful stuff in our blog. So check that out, lipedema-simplified.org/blog. And thank you so much for joining me today. If you haven't already subscribed to our daily flash briefings of tips, tools, and research about lipedema, you can subscribe at Apple, Spotify, Amazon Alexa, or at this website, lipedema-simplified.org/flash, where you'll find an archive of all of our flash briefings. You can now also follow Living Well with Lipedema on Amazon Music and get new episodes when they become available. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next time for another research update flash briefing.